Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my show. I'm your host, Diana Belarus, award-winning singer, songwriter, author, survivor of domestic violence. You can find out more about me on my website, dianabelarus.com, and my 8 books I have written. So today we have another survivor of domestic violence and abuse, and her name is Bailey Smith. Hi, Bailey Smith. Welcome to my show. Please introduce yourself to the listeners today.
So my name is Bailey Smith. I am a survivor of narcissistic abuse and domestic violence. I was married to my abuser over 20 years, and I had 3 children with him, 3 boys. After I realized I was an abused woman, which took 20 years, and starting to get help in therapy and realizing that what I had endured was abuse and putting names and you know, understanding what I had been through was not something I'm going to stay in. I went through what I went through, and, you know, when you go through these things, sometimes you need to make meaning of why you went through it. And as I started my healing journey and learning more and more, I decided I wanted to write a book. And I did. And it took, you know, with a lot of help and a ghostwriter, we got it done in about a year and a half. And, you know, it was very well written. I have to say, I did not write it. It's my story. It's my, it's a show and tell book. So it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of, it's a mix of show and tell. So my story and then learning. I'm very proud of the book, and, you know, the journey continues. You know, it's lifelong. It's a lifelong healing of going through what you go through when you are with an abuser for so many years, even a short period of time. You know, one of the quotes I love the most from Dr. Gabor Mate, I'm not sure if you heard of him, but he's incredible, is, "You are not your trauma. Your trauma is what's inside of you. And in order to become whole, you have to work, you have to figure out what the trauma inside of you is and fix it in order to become whole again." And I think that that's a really long journey. So, you know, that's basically, you know.
Yeah. It takes a long time, and the thing is they don't leave you alone after you leave. They continue to be part of your life and, try to sabotage all the things you do. And it's really, really difficult journey, which kind of interrupts your healing, your trauma healing.
Yeah. And the damage, if you have children, that they do to your children, whether your children are older or they take you to family court, the damage that is done is, and that's why I'm a big advocate for children and mental health, because my children were teenagers and they witnessed the post-separation abuse, and it was a war zone. And even though it was only maybe 2.5 to 3 years of it, the damage was so bad that they're on their healing journey. And when you watch them go through certain things, it triggers you. And, you know, learning from what triggers you and then trying to fix that and not allow and set the boundaries where you don't allow the pain your kids are going through or certain behaviors trigger you, it is very hard. So, you know, it's lifelong. And, you know, I have restraining orders against my abuser, and he'll still manage to get to me through one of my children, not the other two, but one of them, or somehow on dating sites, somehow. They, like you said, they never leave you alone. Nothing can stop them.
Mm-mm.
Not from a different
state. They sabotage your relationships. Yeah. No. They just continue to friends, to your child, to everybody, to your electronics. They have friends here. They have friends there. They have community. They get involved with wrong people just to terrorize you because they just want to feed off you. That's what they want. They don't want you to heal. They don't want to, you know, to progress in your life so they can tell, hey, she was depending on me. I was the one who was providing. I was the one who was doing this. And that's why she was, you know, living life, a wonderful life, amazing life. We had everything. They're just horrible human beings. And there is no cure for them.
They're not even human. They're not human.
Such now these cruel, are lizards. Yeah.
Yeah, these are evil things, creatures that were put on this earth to terrorize us. And you know, my book is really all about, you know, learning about narcissism, learning about abuse, seeing the signs. And I wrote it from so many different angles, for religious people, coming from religious point of views, where in my case, the community and many other religions don't want to deal or don't want to learn or understand because, you know, many people have a lot of skeletons in their closet, or they may be going through it themselves, and they can't open that Pandora box. So they want to keep sweeping it under the rug, and you can't, because, like I say, I don't know if you've seen any of my YouTube or TikToks that I've been doing lately. It's a pandemic. These people are our pandemic of this generation, and all we're doing is creating more the cycle of abuse. So if we don't fix unhealed people, we don't bring awareness, we don't get prevention, we're just creating another cycle, and that's our future. That's who's running this country today. When does it end? It doesn't end. And it's a very, very scary thought because, I mean, I do a lot of court watching and I see children being taken away from protective, and I'm thankful I didn't go through that. My abuser left the state on probation, so he can't come back to the state of Florida. But, you know, and I got custody by default of my youngest, who was 13 at the time. But I see how mothers, overprotective mothers, are being punished by these abusers because that's the way to control them. When they lose all other control over you, when they've already taken everything from you, if your children, they're going to take your children. you know, my oldest just went back to him after coming back to me, and first was with me for years. Then I got him so much help, then went there for almost 2 years, then came back here for 8 months, and then just picked up and left. I mean, I got him every help you can imagine. And it's very scary. It's very scary. I haven't even been able to grasp. It's recent. I haven't even been able to grasp or deal with it, or even, I'm too fragile right now. It's a very heartbreaking. When you put your life into protecting your children and getting them the best help, it doesn't matter what age they are. And it's a healing, or it's a wound that's been reopened that even start beginning to heal. Right now I'm in survival mode again. I have two other children I have to focus on. I have to focus on my own health, my own mental health, and supporting my other two kids. Well, one is getting married soon, God willing, but, you know, just to keep on going and putting the message out there. Like I said, you know, I went through what I went through, and I have what to share with others who are going through it, who are just beginning their healing journey, who may be living with their abuser still, who may just be going out in the dating world and don't know what narcissism, what abuse is. Myself, at 21 years old, a long time ago, you know, nobody knew what narcissism was. Nobody really talked about abuse. So, you know, I was the perfect victim. I was young, naive. Even professional women have gotten charmed into the web of these evil creatures, or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, they know how to suck you in until they have you so caught up in their web. And like I said, for 20 years, we celebrated 20 years of a marriage, and then all of a sudden he walked out. And, you know, when he came back home one day, something to me didn't like, and he almost killed me. And that was the wake-up call. And I always say, and I write it in my book, how I thank God that he did that to me, because I probably would. He was cheating on me, and it was all over social media. He was posting it. My kids were seeing what he was doing. I couldn't see it. He blocked me. So when he walked into the house, I said something, and I was so numb. Like, I was, like, in shock. And this was, like, a good few weeks after, and I said something, and he almost killed me. And if my middle son was not home at the time, he would have killed me. My son broke down the door. And then you go through the whole trauma bond and codependent, and I couldn't see myself, and he left. I couldn't see myself having him arrested. It took me 2 weeks. And by that time, he already started planning how he's getting me back. And it just went on for 2.5 years. We have very broken systems, you know, not just family court, but with the police. I fought for 2.5 years till he went to jail, and I shouldn't have had to. I had so much proof of stalking, harassment, cyberbullying. I mean, you name it. And there are statutes, but, you know, the police don't follow them. And, you know, I write in my book how I printed out the statute, and I would throw it in their face and say, read this, what he did to me was a crime. Here's the proof. They would just supplement. And then when I collected all the reports, when I was ready to start writing, I was reading some of them that I had never seen, and I couldn't believe how they messed up. It was like mind-boggling. And I put them in my book. Obviously, there's no numbers or names or whatever, but I put the precinct name because I promised I was going to get them back, and expose them. And if you read it, the book, it's like you can't even imagine how they got away with what they did by not locking.
I will. I believe every word you say. You know, I see myself, you know, our story is similar in so many ways, you know, just a little bit of differences.
Mm-hmm.
I almost lost my head, so he tried to behead me. So, yeah, I got lucky because the police came on time. I thought I was going to die, and the operator on 911 was online, you know. And unlike you, I lied to the prosecutor. Mm. They wanted him to be in jail, but my daughter begged me not to tell them that he had a knife because he hid the knife. The police couldn't find it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. So anyway, go ahead. I don't want to tell my story. I'm listening.
Well, I'll have you on my show. You could share your story. My two big ones were furious at me that I did not, because my middle one, who was about 16 and a half at the time, called my other one, who's, they're 22 months apart, my oldest, and he called him at school, and he got into an Uber and came home. And I had made my middle one leave the house when the police came, because they both called the police. I was so angry. I said, I reserve the right. I'm not ready to talk, but I reserve the right to speak when I'm ready. And I gave, of course, naive me, thought that my abuser can get better and get help, and they can't. And he promised he would go get help, and, you know, didn't. Not at that time. But then, you know, unfortunately, he set me up, and I had to drop the truck. Really, it was just really bad. And yes, our stories, you know, when I do court watches or I hear other people's stories when they're on my show or, you know, whatever, we all have similar, because these evil, cruel creatures, abusers, are so similar the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our stories are similar. And no matter what, the pain and the healing journey is the same. It's the trauma is the same. I mean, you know, I can't compare, God forbid, to losing a child to my abuser by murder, suicide or murder. You know, but I can feel their pain deeply, to some degree. You know, obviously not, thank God I've not walked their shoes, but you know, I can imagine what they went through leading up to that. And, you know, something's got to give, you know, a change has to happen. And, you know, when he managed to get back into the house and set me up many times, because I was still trauma bonded and codependent. And he even tried to love bomb me and Hoover me and suck me back. And even those 2.5 years where I was tortured, he still tried to suck me back in. And I would not say, no, I'm not taking you back, because I knew the minute I said that, the torture would be worse. So, and I wanted him in the kid's life, life. I tried, you know. And then when I, what saved my life and what I always tell other people is, and I see the difference in people who get a lot of help and the ones that don't, because I've met many women along the way, and you could tell the healthy from the non-healthy, is getting, so what saved my life was finding group therapy in a shelter and going religiously and getting a therapist that I still have today, 7 years later. She was interning at the time. She was probably doing a domestic violence internship or whatever. And I remember walking in there the first time and listening to all their stories and thinking, wow, I relate to these women. And that's where when I finally realized I was an abused woman. This was after I was beaten. Till then, I walked into that the first time and listened to these people's stories, I didn't know. You know, and my family saw things throughout the years, but nobody could really put their finger on it, because what did we know, you know, almost three decades ago? What did we know? You know, they knew something wasn't right with him, you know, and I remember saying, oh, my abuser can get better. He wants to get better. And a year and a half later, when I stopped going, I said, my abuser is just like your abuser. He's never going to get better. I'll never forget. But that place is what saved me, and getting my therapist and really learning and doing research and understanding and, you know, little by little, even to this day, you know, starting to realize, which is why I call my book Married to an Illusion, that the person I married or I thought I was married to didn't exist.
Absolutely. I love the title of your book.
Thank you.
It's amazing, Married to an Illusion. It's basically summarize who they are.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we tend to, a lot of people do this, but majority of the women that have gone through abuse, we tend to attract those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all want that perfect person, and that perfect person, there is no such thing. So we create an illusion. We create this perception of the person that we, our partner, that we are, you know, as I say, my dream soulmate, you know. And, you know, he did live up to it to some degree, but that's what they do. They're charmers. And, you know, it's very scary. We live in a very scary world because there are so many unhealthy adults. And until we talk about it, and until the awareness, and that's what I worry so much about these young children who are having to live with the abusers or have to have 50-50 custody, whatever the arrangements are. You know, like even with my children, I put 7 years of effort, and it's still a healing journey, and it's continuous. And, you know, I just want to see them have healthy, productive lives. And we all want that, you know, for our children. And, you know, it's very scary because sometimes they end up like our abuser, you know, and it's a very, very scary thing. You can put everything, you could put your whole heart and soul into getting them, doing everything you can. You know, there's genetic components to it. There's learned behavior. There's so much, you know, and until, like, I was able to finally closure because that recognizing that person that I was thought I was married to didn't exist. He's dead. He doesn't exist. He's not living. Until even from my other two, until they are able to be able to say, I don't have a dad. I mean, that he doesn't exist. I mean, which they, you know, mostly do, but really, really get that, close that wound. You can't really fully heal. And so many young children who are, have, so many adults who experience some sort of trauma in their life, whether it was with their parents, or it was sexual abuse with someone, whatever kind of trauma, you know, for my abuser, his mother was an abuser. She had NPD. Now, was she diagnosed? No. But I spent enough time with her that when I recognized it in my abuser, I recognized it in her. And I knew things were not right, that something's wrong with this person. And he was the oldest of five children. And, you know, out of five children, four divorced. So what does that show you? You know?
Yeah.
It's a scary, scary world. And there are so much unhealthiness. And not just with men, with women too. I cut so many friendships because you can't heal you can't continue your healing journey when you're hanging out with toxic people. And it's, you know, sometimes it's very lonely because, you know, you have to rebuild trust and you have to find healthy relationships. And, you know, I speak a lot about finding, you know, you're doing your self-care. You know, for me, it's working out and doing things for me, having me time, not just my advocating stuff, not just my show, but just me time, like shutting it off, and it's about me now. And my kids know
Absolutely.
That. So
you should do that.
Yeah,
you should do that. Yeah,
it's very important.
Go inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the things that really begins your healing journey is when, you know, you accept it and then you also start getting help and also at the same time taking care of you, your mental health, and doing things for you. You know, if you don't have the money, go for walks. You know, I always tell people, or journal. There's so many things you can do that you don't have to spend money for yourself. You know, I used to run a lot. Unfortunately, a car accident has damaged that, but I still try, and I walk every single night besides going to the gym in the morning. And that's how I, you know, I just walk away, whatever's going on in the house, and I let go, you know. Otherwise, it's impossible to move forward or to get healthy. So what's your outlets? I guess writing and singing.
Yeah, singing or writing, you know. I'm going to Malibu. I'm very lucky to live about 45 minutes from Malibu. I go there, and I spend time in my car walking at the sea. Yeah, taking pictures.
So beautiful there.
Yeah, doing meditation, you know, staring at the sea. These are the things I go there. This is my escape. So I can put together myself. Yeah, so beautiful. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not far from the beach. I used to go a lot in the evening, like sunset. I haven't mm-hmm. been. And every evening when I plan to go, something comes up. But I like to go. It's too hot here to go in the daytime. So I have to start going again because I like to go and watch the sunset and, you know, listen to music. I just haven't had the time. You know,
You should find time. Never say don't have time. Don't say that, okay?
Yeah,
because
well,
you have time.
I'm always doing something for myself. Every day, the morning and the evening and at night, sometimes I'm driving my son to his job or picking him up from the train or doing something. And then by the time I'm done, I'm just too tired to do that. Do a drive. You know, it's a 15-minute drive. But, you know, so, yeah, you're right. I have to go. I enjoy it a lot. I mean, I get to see the sunset right here. I have a lake outside, but, you know, it's very peaceful at the beach. So
you're living in Florida, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So,
I was in Miami.
Yeah.
It was just gorgeous.
I don't like Miami. Miami is not the same. No, it's very overcrowded. You have, you know, such a mix of variety of people. It's so safe even. Nowhere safe. But
mm-hmm.
it's not,
mm-hmm.
like we used to vacation down here when I was married. It's very different now. And the traffic is crazy. It's very overcrowded. I'm not terribly far. I mean, I was actually just in Hollywood yesterday, and that's like another half hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's good that, you know, I don't even know how we ever connected. It's amazing.
I just saw you in my groups.
Oh.
You were posting your videos in my groups, and I was following phone, and I said, I should invite her. She's definitely driven. She wants to make a difference. She's serious, and it's absolutely fabulous
but
to have women like this.
But we've been following each other for a long time already.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing. We've built a really incredible community on social media in the last couple of years. I'm so proud. I'm so proud because I started advocating for mental health when I was trying to get my oldest mental health care. And I'm an insurance broker, and I was like tagging the insurance company, you know, they need to give him more time in the you know, facility, whatever. And you know, something happens to him and they make him leave because they only give you a certain amount of time, and you know they only want to pay for a certain amount of time, you know, because mental health is, you know, they don't look at mental health well. Hopefully they're starting to change, but you know, and that's how I started. Somebody found me and asked me to be on a show, and that was like 4 years ago. And that's really how I started getting out there. And then I started just sharing a little bit of my story because I knew eventually I wanted to write a book and really share it. And, and I've built an incredible community of people that I'm really friends with. You know, I could pick up a phone anytime or text them. Can I talk or whatever? If I wanted to, you know? And it's amazing because we're the ones that are speaking up, bringing the awareness, writing books, putting our life out there, you know, and that's awareness is going to give education, and education is going to help with prevention. That's how I see it.
Absolutely. That's how it is. That's how it is. When I wrote and published my book, a lot of women escaped domestic violence. They just left everything. I had so many women reach to me and tell me, hey, you motivated me, and I left, and I'm alive. I'm happy. I didn't believe in myself, but right now after building life by myself, I believed in myself, and I feel much, much better.
I have the chills. when I get like sometimes I'll, you know, I'm an open book, so sometimes I'm having a rough day and I'll post something and all of a sudden I'll get all these messages. I'm like, I'm okay, you know, but I want to show people that it's a journey. We have our highs and lows, and you're not alone. Even Baby Smith, who loves to walks into the gym dancing, loves music, you know, with a happy smile, I could be hurting inside. And, you know, you never know. I had a woman come up to me. She goes, you must not be married. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm divorced. She goes, you're always so happy. You love dancing. I said, you have no idea. And we actually started becoming friendly. Like, I've seen her the last couple of years, and we never spoke. And it opened up a door for her to be able to share what she's been dealing with and she lives with, and vice versa, you know. And
yeah,
you never know what somebody's going through. Sometimes we wear masks, you know.
Oh, yes, we do.
I don't think we're an illusion. I don't think we're an
illusion. I don't think so.
Because we're really an open, open, we're an open book, you know. I'm honest. You know, say it like it is, and that's why I share so much pain sometimes, and the good. You know, I mean, it's a journey, and some days are good, some days are not. And for those out there that haven't left, leave. Find a safe way to leave. I put that all in my book. That's why it's called, you know, A Survivor's Guide to Identifying and Escaping Narcissistic Abuse, because you have to find a safe way to leave. You have to plan it very carefully. You have to have a support system. You cannot do it alone. It's very dangerous. I was very blessed to have my parents nearby. And be there for me. My sister actually is going through this right now, and she actually left very quietly. She never told any of us she was leaving. She was scared. She was scared. But she's happy now. I mean, they're not divorced yet, but there's stuff that has to be dealt with. But her abuser was worse than mine. And when people read my book, and I say, they're like, how is that possible? She was really scared of him.
Yeah, how is this possible? I mean, you're kind of imagining, or you're lying to us, you know. Some people think that, how could you handle, how, why did you stay, you know?
Oh, she was scared.
Because you don't know. Yeah.
Like I said, if I wasn't beaten, you know, I would probably might have stayed with him. What else would have made me, other than the stupid posts and crap he was putting on the internet, you know, what would have woken me up? What would have, you know, the abuse through my marriage wasn't really physical. The physical was after, in my post-separation. It was anger and mood swings and, you know, nothing that was really horrific. You know, he was a father to his kids. He, you know, ran a business that I helped him with, you know. So what have, you know, I didn't realize. I didn't know. I didn't know the whole other life he lived. I thought I knew everything. Women, men, you don't know everything. You really don't. And that's why you need to learn everything you can, everything there is to know. And it's great what's out there, the information you can find, the resources you can find and you can get. I mean, like I said, my first experience of learning about abuse and narcissistic abuse and domestic violence was at that shelter, those group therapy sessions. That's where I really started to learn. And that was just six years ago, 6.5 years ago. But I to this day, they saved my life.
Absolutely.
Because you never, like what happened with you, you never know when they could snap. whether it's on your children, whether it's on you. And I remember once writing a letter to the captain of the police department that wasn't doing their job. And there was an article of a woman who had been murdered by her husband. I think it was in Florida. And I sent the article and I said, this could have been me. Do you want this on your, you don't do something. Do you want this on your, and I said, this is in the email. So it's out there on the internet. Like, you know, do you want this? It's recorded basically, you know, it's in the email. Do you want this on your conscience? If this something like this happens to me? And I think a lot of pressure was put on, you know, even though it was clear cut what he was doing to me was a crime. I think, you know, they were not happy with me that I didn't press charges right away. You know, it was like almost a punishment when
exactly,
I finally had the
courage.
Because
you're not serious. Yeah.
I was scared.
I know.
I was in shock and I was scared. So.
I hear you now. I hear you very well. I can definitely connect to you.
Yeah.
But
and
you did it. The main thing is you did it. Yeah, too many women.
Too many
Lily,
women.
We are out of time. Can
if
you
I
share
could
with
just...
us the place where... Yeah.
Yes. So my website is thenevergiveupshow.com or marriedtoanillusion.com. All my shows are on there. The link to Amazon for my book is on there, or you can go to Amazon, or you just can Google Married to an Illusion, Married to an Illusion by Bailey Smith, and it'll pop up on Amazon. And grab a copy. I would love to hear back from you guys. And you could reach me via my website. There's an email, or my social media is on there. So I'm reachable. And Diane, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you reached out to me.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure. Definitely.
And down the road, I'd love to have you on. My show's like, could be 2 hours. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You can really share a lot in 2 hours. So.
Oh, believe me. I can, you know, write another book. After leaving the abuser.
Yeah. I was thinking about starting to journal, and I don't have the energy right now. There's stuff I have to deal with. There's a certain pain right now that I have to, a wound that's opened. Maybe I should journal about that.
Hey.
I don't know.
I'm always here for you. You need to know that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to send you the phone number if you want to talk to somebody who... I did
I
it by myself, not therapy. I don't
I have
therapy. I did it by myself. So
wow.
Whatever you want to talk to, I'm here. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm here for
You're
amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And journaling, I definitely recommend to start doing that because it helps a lot. It got me through this abuse. I have about 7 journals full with everyday story I have written inside. What he had been doing to me, So it helped me to go through this and, you know, thankfully I don't have mental problems. I deal with the traumatic experience. Yes, we have these triggers inside. I call them like in a cabinet with all these files. Every time something's happened, it's triggering us. But eventually you're going to learn how to cope with this situation. You're going to stop yourself and say, hey, this is something that I'm doing because of what happened to me. I shouldn't act like this. That's what I do.
Right.
That's how I cope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bailey. I cannot wait to be on your show. Thank you for sharing your story. Just for sharing your story with us today, it makes a difference in women. You heard Bailey's story. Please do yourself a
little
favor
bit.
And live.
A little bit, you heard.
Yeah.
Buy the book. It'll help you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
You.
And I will
you
talk
too.
To you again. Thanks.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye, everybody. You too.